Afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Bridging the Language Gap in Global Technology, Mastering Technical English. Closer? Okay. So this presentation is going to explore strategies for mastering technical English to thrive in the global tech industry.
Here.
So my name is Eric Werfel. I'm a senior DevOps engineer at Fragaman, which is a global immigration law firm.
Ya está parado? Ah, no.
And I have, let's just say I have decades of IT experience. I've been working in the industry for more than 20 years in a variety of different roles. So I've worked as an individual contributor and also in leadership roles. And I'm going to also claim some language learning expertise because I've been learning Spanish on and off for 30 years. And it's partially the off part that explains why I'm not quite fluent. But you still might wonder why I'm not doing this presentation in Spananish. And it's partly because I don't know whether I could pull off a full half hour in Spanish. But the other thing is, I'm really a firm believer in the direct method of language training. It's always better, in my thoughts, to learn a language in that language. So if, say, you're looking on YouTube for a channel to learn English, you should avoid the ones that will speak about English in Spanish and look for the ones that will do it in English. You'll maybe do it in English that's slow and clear, but still in English. I also have a background teaching English. I've taught ESL. Now, I should say that I've taught ESL on a voluntary basis to immigrants in my area. So I'm not a professional English teacher, but I do have a lot of experience. I also have a master's degree in Spanish translation. And as part of that degree, I have a lot of experience working with specialized terminology in both English and Spanish, both in terms of technology, and also I have some expertise in legal vocabulary. And I guess the other thing I wanted to mention is why I'm here. I'm here to provide some tips to you that can make you more comfortable and proficient in using English for your work in IT. Okay, thank you. So these are some reasons you might want to spend some time developing your proficiency in technical English. Now, it's safe to say that it's really a global industry for technology these days. And I'm sure a lot of you are already working in global teams. And it's not that I'm an English partisan, but I think it's probably true that most global teams are going to use English as the common language. So if you can develop your own skills in English, you'll work better with the team. It's also true that there's a lot of technology information that comes in English. About 90% of... Closer? Okay. Sorry. About 90% of open source repositories on GitHub have documentation in English. And of course, for bleeding edge research in the field, you're going to find that most of the documentation is in English, even if the researchers aren't necessarily speakers of English as the first language. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is that it's great for career advancement possibilities because proficiency in technical English is going to help you work with if you're looking for a leadership role, it's going to help you work with the global team. And it's also important for global understanding, just for working with teams, global teams in English. So I'm going to suggest just a few steps to developing your technical English skills. You want to start out by assessing your current proficiency. You should evaluate your existing technical English skills, identify areas for an improvement, and set some specific learning goals. you should also immerse yourself in technical content. So you want to read industry-specific articles, journals, and documentation. And of course, you want to do that in English. And that's to order to expose yourself to authentic technical English usage. Whenever you can, you'll want to practice technical writing in English. If you have an opportunity to write a report in English, or to write manuals or documentation, you should always take that opportunity as a chance to develop your English skills. And you should utilize online resources. So if you want to take a course, an online course, you should try to look for the course in English in order to improve your skills. And it would also be great if you look to online learning platforms. I happen to be a fan of italki. Now, the platform might not have a class that's specifically called technical English, but when you research your teachers, you can probably find someone who has worked in technology or is working in technology. And that's probably going to be a good person for you to work with to develop your vocabulary. And then the next step would be to engage in conversation. So one good thing to do would be to look for user groups online that are held in English and do your very best to participate. And you also would want to look for forums in English, like, say, Stack Exchange, where you can answer some questions in English. So when I started out in tech in the 1990s, I was working in New Jersey, and we were working with developers in Silicon Valley, and we thought it was pretty cool that they were 3,000 miles away. But of course, that turns out to be nothing, because just 10 years later, we were working with teams in India and in Costa Rica. But of course, once we expanded to teams in India and Costa Rica, there was more of a question of the multilingual tech team. And now, in the 2010s, there was more of a focus on localization, writing software where the same code will run. Where the same code will run, but you can run it for different languages and even for different regions for different languages. And of course, now in the 2020s, the trends are the same towards more globalization. And towards more localization. But the result is that knowing multiple languages and knowing technical English is even more of a benefit to you. So I just want to drive home the point, if I can dare to quote Sheryl Sandberg, that effective communication is the glue that holds the global team together. So, technical English can help you with enhanced career opportunities. It'll improve communication with the global team. It'll give you access to the very latest technology. And I just wanted to add here that learning a language is really all about pattern recognition. And working with pattern recognition is also going to give you enhanced problem solving and critical thinking capabilities. So I'm going to just take this moment to make the claim that learning languages can make you smarter. Now, I've been talking about technical vocabulary, but another way of looking at it is technical jargon. And jargon is specialized language that is used for efficiency and precision of communication. And now, if there are terms that you'll use on the technical theme that everyone knows, and there's really no ambiguity involved. And it's also true that jargon signals identity and community. And it's great that jargon builds community, but the flip side of that is that jargon excludes outsiders. So to be the insider, you want to pick up on the specialized vocabulary. Sorry. But I wanted to make the point that you'll need specialized vocabulary to work with your technical team, but you also need to bear in mind that you'll work with business people who don't understand the technical vocabulary. So the unfortunate news is you'll have to learn the technical vocabulary, and you'll also need to work on learning the plain English language equivalent so that you can work with, say, your clients or your business partners who aren't technical people. And now I have a list at the end of this presentation of vocabulary that has the technical term and then a plain English term. It also has the Spanish equivalent, but like I said, I'm not exactly fluent, so it could be that some of those are wrong. I mean, if you want to let me know, that would be great. But in any event, I thought it would be kind of boring to just walk through vocabulary in this presentation. So I've just put a few examples here to let you know what the kind of thing that I mean. So you might want, if you're talking to your tech team, you might talk about scalability. But if you're talking to someone who isn't technical, you might want to explain that that's ability to grow. And if you're talking about latency, you might want to explain to someone who isn't technical that you're talking about network delays. And if, say, you're talking about throughput, you may need to explain that you're really talking about the amount of data that's processed. And if, say, you're talking about containerization, you may want to explain that you're talking about the packaging of software. And if you're talking about a load balancer, you'll need to explain that it's a traffic distributor. And if you're talking about deprecation, which comes up all the time in IT, but I think people who aren't technical have no idea what it means, you're definitely going to have to explain that you're really talking about phasing something out. So maybe the unfortunate news is if you're learning technical English, you have double the work because you need to learn the technical vocabulary and the plain English equivalent. So specialized terminology is anticipated and it's beneficial when you're collaborating with technical peers. But when you're communicating with business users, it's very important to be able to simplify the message and ensure that it's easily understandable. Now, at this point, I'm going to have to admit that the business people that I work with have complained that I'm not very easy to understand and I sometimes get too technical. So it's a problem that you'll face, but it's also a problem that people who speak English as a first language face. And it's really just something that you'll have to work on. I really am aware of the problem. I try to avoid it. And yet, I sometimes am too technical. Now, one point I want to make is that IT is changing all the time. Whether you're learning English or you've spoken English all your life, you're going to come across a concept that you've never come across before, and you may not know what it means. And it may be very tempting, it may be embarrassing to have to ask, and it's going to be very tempting to make an assumption about what it means. But those assumptions could be costly. They could be mistaken, and you could delay things, and delay always costs money when you're talking about IT. So my suggestion is you just have to not be afraid to ask. And like I said, it's something that we all do. Don't be afraid to do it as a language learner. And I also wanted to mention that you've probably heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect, where people who know less about a specialized topic believe that they know more about it than the people who actually do know more about the specialized topic. And that's really a cognitive bias. And really, the point I want to make is that, in fact, knowing what you don't know is in itself a sign of intelligence. So I think if you ask someone to explain something, a lot of people, and probably the most important people, will understand that that's actually a sign of intelligence and a sign that you know what you're doing. And there's this sort of corollary, and that's the tale of TLAs. TLAs are three-letter acronyms. There's a sort of fire hose of three-letter acronyms in IT, and you're going to come across new ones all the time. And now one problem is that TLAs. Now, I should say that they're three-letter acronyms. It's possible some of them are two-letter acronyms. You'll also come across four-letter acronyms. But my experience is that the vast majority, for one reason or another, are actually three-letter acronyms. Now, I'm not sure that this is important to point out, but an acronym is technically... It's the short form of a longer word or phrase that's typically made up of the first letter of the phrase. And grammarians out there will tell you that it's only really an acronym if you can pronounce it as a word. So, for example, a WAN is a wide area network, and that's an acronym because you can pronounce it. Whereas an NFT, non-fungible tokens, that's an initialism because it's not a word. And yet, I think almost everyone you work with is going to call them acronyms, whether or not it's really an initialism. So like I was saying, you'll come across new TLAs all the time. And my experience is that they're hardly ever defined at the point when somebody first uses them. So really the only thing you can do is ask what it means. Now you might be tempted to go out and Google it, but people are creating TLAs in government and in business, and there are going to be a lot of TLAs that use the same three letters that mean something else completely different. And the worst thing is that there are actually TLAs with the same three letters that are used in technology, and you may be tempted to think that they actually meant this other TLA. So don't do that. You should ask. And I do that too. Just the other day, the manager of another business group I work with sent me an IM that said, what's the status of the RCA? There's no context at all. And so I actually had no idea what an RCA was. And I'll admit, I did a little Googling, and all I came up with was RCA cables, which are named after the now defunct Radio Corporation of America. They're used for audio, and RCA cables themselves are still being made, but they're becoming obsolete. And so I knew that wasn't what he meant. So I had to ask him. He told me that he was talking about the root cause analysis. And now I should have known that that's what it was, because just the day before, I had sent out a report describing the root cause analysis of a server outage that we had with a client-facing application, which was really quite a big deal. But in the moment, RCA just didn't come to me. So I asked him to explain. In any event, I think I'll live it down. And just like me, you'll live it down too if at some point you have to ask. And so I really want to emphasize, don't be afraid to ask. And now I want to give some tips about working on listening comprehension in English. So I'm going to suggest one good way of improving your listening comprehension is to watch U.S. series and movies with the original soundtrack. And I should say I have nothing against British series. They can be great, or Australian series. But I think it's probably true that in most cases, the accent that you're going to hear in your meetings is probably going to be an American accent. And that's the one you'll want to spend time working on. Although if you happen to be working with a British company, do go ahead and watch some British series. Now, I'm going to suggest if you're first starting out, you could turn on the subtitles in Spanish. And that's all right, because you'll still get accustomed to hearing the English. But it'll be much better if you can turn the subtitles on in English, because that's going to help you improve your English vocabulary. When you come across words you don't know, if you have the subtitles on in English, you'll know how it's spelt. And you've probably noticed that it's really hard to predict how a word is spelled in English if you don't already know it. And that makes it hard to kind of look up with Google Translate. So the subtitles in English are going to help you. The only problem is that if you have the subtitles on, what you're really working on is your reading comprehension. Because it'll be hard to not read most of the time if you have the subtitles on. And I started out by saying that it's probably a good idea to work on your listening comprehension. So at some point, you're going to want to turn the subtitles off and see what you can understand. What I'm going to say, if you turn the subtitles off and you have no idea what's going on, then turn them back on, because it should be fun. If it's not fun, you won't do it. So use the subtitles if you have to. And I'm going to suggest that you aim to spend a half an hour a day. Don't try to do any more, or make it tiring. And don't try to do any less, because you do want to make progress. And I might suggest that you could look for shows like Mythic Quest or Silicon Valley, where they do use tech-related jargon. It's kind of fun, and it might improve your vocabulary. But I'm also going to say that these are Hollywood shows, and there's a lot of stuff they just make up. So you'll need to keep that in mind. But I still think it's fun, so you might look for that. But a lot of people say that the best show to watch for English learning is actually Friends, and that's because there's 90 hours of content. You get to know the characters really quickly, and you get to know their vocabulary really quickly. So maybe for the first few episodes, you might be hunting words in Google Translate, but pretty soon, you'll know them all, and it'll just be 90 hours of reinforcement. And I understand that Friends is on Max in Mexico, so it might be worth it to look for it. Oops. All right, so I thought I'd suggest that you can improve your English through daily practice. You don't need to spend too much time. In fact, you don't want to spend too much time. But I would suggest spending 10 minutes reading technical blogs in English. And that's like TechCrunch or Stack Exchange or the programming sections of Medium. You'll want to watch TV series or media in English for 30 minutes a day. I'm also going to suggest, especially for listening comprehension. For listening comprehension, you try listening to the news in English. And that's, again, because if there are no subtitles, you'll be focusing on listening comprehension and not reading comprehension. So, I mean, there's plenty of sources for news in English, but I suggest here that you could go to the NPR site. Now, I'm also going to suggest that you can improve your English by setting your devices to English. Now you can set your phone to English and your tablet to English. You may not want to set your laptop to English, because if you use it on the job, your company may not appreciate the little bit of extra time that it takes to navigate in a language that they may not be quite so familiar with. But if you just set your phone and your tablet, if you have one, to English, it'll give you the opportunity to navigate through settings in English, and that'll get you familiar with some technical terminology, even though it's meant for everybody, so it's not going to be terribly technical. And the other great thing is that because of the localization I was talking about before, you may find that a lot of the applications you use daily will also change their interface to English. And so you can find that every time you spend 5 minutes on your phone, you could think of it as a little 5-minute immersion program in English. So I want to spend just a minute to talk about the American communication style. And now I know it may be a little bit controversial for me to say American, but the problem is we don't have a word like estadounidense in English. So I don't know what else to say. So all I can say is I'm sorry. and I'll work on developing some alternative. But the one thing I wanted to say about the American communication style is that it may appear very brusque and abrupt to people, because you'll find that there are a lot of people who will focus on going directly to the problem, and you may think that this instant critique is an insult, but most of the time it really isn't. They're just trying to get to the heart of the problem quickly. But if you look at the last point, I do want to say that's true most of the time, that they meant nothing personal by it. But sometimes that's not true. Sometimes some people just aren't very nice. But the trick is whether if you don't know whether someone is doing it intentionally or not, the answer is really the same. The best thing to do is to assume that they meant the best and try to not take it personally. And I think that'll work for you 99% of the time. So this is my contact information, and there's a link to the vocabulary they mentioned earlier. And I think now we have some time for some questions.
Thank you so much, Eric. Yes, questions for the audience. Let's vamos a dar un fuertísimo aplauso a Eric. Thank you so much, Eric. And then questions for the audience. We have one question here.
Hello, Eric. Well, first of all, you will have to excuse my pronunciation because I'm in this way to improve my language skills. But I would like to ask about the application process for some internships in the U.S. If they see that I don't have like a proficient English level, do you think they might discard my application, or they would understand my situation as a non-native speaker?
Now, that's a little bit out of my area of expertise, but if they ask for, I guess it's like the test of English as a foreign language, then you may need to take the test. But I mean, I understood you, so it's possible you would do just fine on the test. But I would suggest that you look into it.
We have one question for this side. And before we continue with this question, only for add value on this answer, and I work for an American company, and it's very common for non-American people or non-native speaker to take care about that. You know, if you speak Spanish as your first language and you learn English and you're trying to push your boundaries about the language, it's the company takes in consideration that part. So we have a lot of people from all Latin in the company, and maybe they don't have the best pronunciation of best English. I don't have an excellent English, I think. But they can work. And you know, American people say, I only want to speak one language, English. You are doing your best effort to try to communicate with me, and it's very valuable when you try to communicate correctly, you know?
Oh, sure.
So let's continue with the next question here.
All right. Hello, Eric. So thank you for your talk. I am an engineering manager at Kaelent, and I lead a team of engineers for whom English is a second language. Are there any specific training or activities you would recommend to help me help them improve their English skills, specifically for customer-centric conversations?
Do you need to repeat the question?
Sure.
Okay. Can you repeat the question, please? And if you want, you can stay here to listen for better.
Okay. So I lead a team of engineers for whom English is a second language. Are there any specific trainings or activities you would recommend to help me help them improve their English skills, specifically for customer-focused conversations?
Well, I guess I really recommend that you recommend the same approach to them, that you work every day to learn a little bit of English, to improve your English just a little bit. And I think that's really the best approach.
Okay, we have a question here.
Hi, thank you for your speech again. You talk about how improve understanding English, but what about help other people to speak it fluently? Because it's easier to get used of understanding English rather than having the ability to speak it correctly. So what is your advice on this?
Well, I guess I mentioned language learning platforms, and I guess I can recommend, say, iTalki sort of thing, or maybe if you could work with someone once a week, specifically on your pronunciation, that's something that would probably help you. I guess another technique that I've heard people mention is mirroring, where you could watch a video that's in English, and you could just repeat it, maybe a couple of seconds behind. So that's a couple of things that come to mind.
Great. Thank you so much, Eric. Do we have another question? ¿Alguna otra pregunta en el escenario? A lo mejor en español, ayudamos acá a traducirla. ¿Una más? Another question.
I have another question regarding to cultural differences. You talk about American cultural differences, but what about when we are working with maybe Indians or Philippines or other people around the world?
Well, sure. I guess I wasn't sure whether I should mention it, but I have experience with, say, the Indian style of management or of leadership, which really can be even a little bit more brusque than the American style. But really, there's nothing you can do about that. And again, the best advice is probably to not take it personally. And really, you do want to learn about the other cultures of the other people you're working with.
Excellent. Perfect. Thank you so much, Eric, for your time, for the session.
Oh, thank you.
Vamos a darle un fuertísimo aplauso a Eric.